In Psalm 22:27, it says in the New Living Translation, the whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to Him. All the families of the nations will bow down before Him. What a redemptive scripture. The whole earth. All the families of all the nations will bow down before Him. For royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship. Bow before Him, all who are mortal, all whose lives will end as dust. Well, this is an opportunity for us who know Him to worship Him. Someday it sounds like all the earth is going to bow down before Him. Those who know Him and those who don't know Him. But we know Him. And we know His love. We know His works. We know His grace and His mercy and His goodness. So it's an opportunity for us to lift Him up this morning and to give Him the praise and the honor that He's due. Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, a day that You have made. And Lord, we want to rejoice and worship and be thankful and glad in it. So Lord, I pray that our hearts, Lord, would just be fixed on You. That anything that has been dividing our attentions, distracting us, keeping us, Lord, from knowing fully who You are in our lives, in Your goodness, in Your love, Lord, that would be removed. The hindrances, the blockages will be removed today, Lord. And we will be able to see You in Your fullness. See You in Your glory, in Your splendor, in Your majesty. Lord, You are worthy to be praised. And though it's difficult sometimes to physically bow down, we bow down to You, Lord, in our hearts. We bow down to You, Lord, in our emotions. Lord, we humble ourselves before You today and we say, You are our King and our God. And have Your way, Lord, in this service today. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Jesus.
Baby. Yeah. grace in his eyes. His grace is an ocean where all seeking. Heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my turn turns violently inside of my chest. I don't
glory, God, is what our hearts.
Praise the Lord. That they're playing reminds me of that song. It's "I glorify thy name in all the earth." Every time I hear, you remember? Do you remember that song? You don't remember it? It's good. Probably if you heard it, you would remember it. I can't believe that I know a song you don't. Oops. Something's still live up here, huh? No, just getting feedback. Get too close.
I turned you up because I can't hear you.
Oh. You want me to talk quieter? Is that what that means?
Louder.
Praise the Lord.
Anytime we sing that song, "Draw Me Close to You," I remember as a little girl, whenever I would get in trouble, that was the least thing I'd want my parents to do, because I wanted to run, you know, hide.
You don't want them to draw you close.
I didn't want them to draw me close, but it's so different with God, because he has a way of overlooking the flaws and seeing the greatness, I think, in us, and I just love that about him.
Does he overlook it, or does he just not see it?
When it's sin, I think he sees it, and if we love him enough, we want, you know, to make it right. But when it's just the character of who we are, I think he does overlook it, because he loves us so much, he just wants to draw us into who he is, you know, and that supersedes anything else, I believe.
Well, and when we're in a place of repentance, good morning! And asking for forgiveness, it says that he doesn't even remember them anymore.
Right.
And so that means he's not keeping a tally. Isn't that good news? Can you imagine if he's keeping a tally? Oh, my goodness. That would be horrible, wouldn't it?
It'd be terrible.
The tally's already been kept.
Yeah. In Jesus.
He knows the beginning from the end.
Oh, there you go. But he doesn't keep, when he sees us, he doesn't see all of our failures yet in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. So today, last week we talked about being in love. And what that meant was I'll just read this scripture, because I think it'd be better if I did that than trying to, let's see if I can find it here. You don't have it handy, do you?
I don't know what you're thinking.
You know what I'm talking about. I just want to read the scripture. It was 1 John. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so we talked about the idea that if we don't have the love of God in us, if we're not receiving that love of God, that we're able to love the world.
Right.
And we're able to love the things in the world, and the attractions of the world draw us in. But when we have the love of the Father in our hearts, when we know, and that doesn't mean that, you know, we're perfect in the way that we always just love each other or love people, but it means that we receive that love that the Father has for us. In other words, we're accepted and we're his beloved, that the world is not our playground that we are always attracted to.
Right.
Our heart remains in him. What? Oh, sorry. The scripture for that last week was 1 John 2:15 through 17. Yeah. And if you want, if you ask me, I'll send you the slide. So no worries. What's that?
I was just going to say, God put me in that same chapter, same verses.
Oh, well, there you go.
You go. And earlier in that verse, I think 16, he's quoting John's quoting Elijah, or anyway, he's quoting another.
But you were in that same one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's amazing.
So I was waking up yesterday morning, And I was...
I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, reaching for my phone. And all of a sudden, the first thing was about, I think it was about 6. Maybe a little later. Maybe it was 7 something. I was reaching for my phone and I looked at it. And the Jesus calling was there. And I have it so that it reminds me Jesus calling every day. I think it goes off at 5:30. And it's probably about, you know, well, it's kind of when I feel drawn to it, you know, that I read it. And I felt, oh, I'm going to look at this today. And it was reminding me about the scripture where Jesus is saying, you know, come to me, you know. And then it went into this Ephesians 3. And it talked about the love of God. And how, you know, the love of God, how wide and how long and how high and how deep. And when I saw the word deep, it's like, I went, oh, wow. There's like four dimensions that Paul is talking about there. So I kind of looked at it a little bit and it jumped out at me. So I said, okay, I guess we're supposed to stay kind of talking about love this week as well. And I don't know if I mentioned last week, but Jesse says, I don't think you can talk too much about the love of God. I think it's something we can always talk about because he is love. And so when you're talking about love, you're talking about God and you're talking about the character and nature and the attributes of God when you're talking about love. So today I want to talk about 4D love. I was going to say fourth dimension and Gay said, don't say fourth dimension because why did you say not say fourth dimension?
Because there's an old group that used to sing.
Who's going to remember that old group here, right? We do. I mean, there's a few of us, maybe. Yeah, I think it was...
Fifth dimension.
That's what it was. Okay, so fourth dimension, so we're good. But I put 4D love. And yeah, hopefully it will be explain itself when we see it. So let's go ahead and start reading, hon. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19.
For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Wow, what a prayer. That's one of those that when you read it, you go like, Paul, you were really praying for a lot. You were really praying for things that were...
deep.
Deep. Yeah, deep. There you go. Deep and wide and long and tall. Yeah, exactly. So let's just look at this, these first couple of verses, just to kind of lay down the groundwork of why Paul is praying this, I believe. You know, he's saying for this reason. And he was giving the reason before about the mystery of the gospel and what Christ had accomplished, you know. And, you know, you have chapter 1 of Ephesians, chapter 2 of Ephesians, chapter 3, and then Paul at this point is saying, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that he's saying, I'm making a petition when he says I'm bowing my knees. I'm coming before him as an emissary. I'm coming before him as somebody that's standing in the gap for you. And then he says, the one from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So not just on earth, but in heaven. We are his family and we are named in him. We are named by him. We are named, you know, the bride of Christ, you could call it. The children of God, the sons and daughters of God. But it's, I mean, the whole family of God is named by him. And then he says this. This is his request. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. So everything that I'm going to request now is because of the riches, the richness of God, the riches of the glory, the riches of what Christ has accomplished for us by dying for us, by becoming our substitution, by taking our place, by allowing him to become man so that we could have all of the God attributes
right
in us. And then he says, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. In other words, that God's strength and power would come within us, and that it would encourage and strengthen our inner man. And I believe so that we can then achieve these things that he's now asking. And that is this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So see, he's building this here. He's wanting our inner man to be strengthened. He wants it to be fortified. He wants it to be able to handle these facts, these truths, these realities. Because if it's not getting into our inner man, then it's just getting into our minds. And if it's getting into our minds, guess what can happen? It can be filled with something else.
Yeah.
It can be easily distracted. Mm-hmm. But if it gets into our inner man, how many of you know something deep, deep within you about God? Maybe it's something you learned when you were first saved, or maybe it was something that you learned a year ago. But it's a truth, it's a reality that's in your inner man, and no one can take that from you. That is yours. That is the truth, that is a reality that no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter how windy it is, no matter how much the tree looks like it's going to bend and break, you know that truth and that reality. And it does not depend on physical circumstances, natural occurrences. It is something that you've received in your soulish spiritual man. It's deep in your heart. Yeah. That's what he's talking about. That you would be in that same way, rooted and grounded in love. Mm-hmm. Remember last week we heard how, I think it was it Jude who said to keep ourselves in the love of God, to maintain a attitude of being loved. And that doesn't mean that, you know, we're to, you know, say, oh, I have to love people, I have to love God, and that we try to make it about how we try to love it. No, this is remaining in his love for us. Because mm-hmm. I read something in an old early psalm from actually the New Testament that never made it into the Bible, but it's an amazing book. And what's it called? I think it's called the Songs of Solomon. But he says we can't love him unless we first realize that he loved us.
Right.
Because we can't love God. You can't even love God unless you realize he loves you. Because you don't have the capacity to love without his love in you. And some would say, well, that's not true, Pastor Mike. I can choose to love. I can make a choice to love. And yeah, you can do that. But how long will you maintain that? How long, when somebody, you know, continues to slap you in the face, will you continue to love them? I guarantee it won't be too long before you're not loving them. Even though the capacity to love them is there in God. When those people were putting that crown of thorns on Jesus and beating him, mm-hmm. he was looking at them with love.
Yeah.
He was not looking at them with disgust and anger and hate and resentment. His heart was breaking for them because he knew the condition of their being. And that was only because the love that God was in him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. There was more love in him than anything else.
More love in him than anything else. Exactly. And yeah. Some people say, well, Pastor Mike, that's Jesus. I can't do that. No, you can't do that.
But Jesus,
you don't have the capacity to do that yourself. But in God's love, you do. Because in God's love, it's not your love, it's his love. And his love is able to handle abuse and betrayal mm-hmm. and rejection upon you. Because it's not you that it's happening to, it's God. Because God's in you in love. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
All right.
What?
Because he first loved us, exactly. Mm-hmm. We love because he first loved us. Right. But if he doesn't first love us, and that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us, but have we received the reality that he loves us? See, that means you don't look in the mirror and you basically estimate how much God loves you based upon what you look like. Or you don't look at your behavior. And you say, well, God only loves me up to this much because my behavior is this bad. No, we know that he loves us because he is love. And when we were at our worst, he loves us.
He can't help himself.
When we're at our worst, he doesn't love us any more than when we're at our best.
Now that's a statement.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can't get God to love you any more than he already does.
It's impossible.
His love is, that's why Paul's praying this prayer. Because he knows if he can get them to get this, then the following will take place.
Can we go back to 3:17 real quick?
3:17.
I've noticed that you underlined rooted, grounded, and love. And the rooted part, I've always understood because of revelation that God gave me. But that grounded part, it kind of reminds me of when I was a little girl. And I don't know if my hand was wet. I don't know what made me get electrocuted. And it wasn't like terribly like, you know, my hair fried and all that. But
you didn't die.
When I plugged it in, I was so, it was zipping me so much, I couldn't move. Like my, I was so grounded. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's how grounded God wants us to be in him, where we can't move without him, where everything that we consider it through him, through his eyes, through his ways. Like, it's astounding how that grounded in love, how we can actually stay there, and how he lets us have the choice to either be grounded in love or not. I mean, it's total choice on our part. And being grounded in love means that no matter what's happened prior, no matter what's happened prior, love is what shines through. And I had opportunity to actually live this out a couple of weeks ago when I saw someone that I had been hurt by previously, and I truly wanted to run. Like I didn't want to stay in the same room. I wanted to turn around and make somebody else deal with them because I was at work, and I wanted to call for help and say, you know, you come up and deal with these people because, you know, I don't even want to talk to them. But God is like, you're in me. Like, you know, that shouldn't matter anymore. And I was able to be cordial, and I was able to help them. And was it hard? Yeah, because that old nature part of me wanted to just like, and I'm just being truthful, reach across the counter and give them a good whack. But the old God's nature won out in me because he's like, I love you. You don't need to go there. You don't need to think there. You don't need to react there. It's all good. I've got you. I've got you covered. But I could have taken myself out of being grounded in his love, and I could have reacted humanly, like, you know, like I want, like that first nature wanted to, but I didn't. And so we have to understand that we have those kind of choices that meet us every day. Like, we have those kind of choices that come at us all the time. And we can either react like we would always react as a human, as a sinner, as a person that knows God but could care less that I know God, because by gumbo, you're going to get your comeuppance because you deserve it. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. Or we can recognize by being grounded, so electrified in his love, so held there, that we don't have to go to that human reaction. We don't have to react that way any longer.
Right. That's good. Here's one of the translations says grounded in love like this: established and placed on a foundation within the midst of and in union with love.
Wow.
So a foundation that is not only, like you say, well, it's built on love. No, it's built in love. It's built in the midst of God's love.
Wow.
The foundation. That's, again, like Jude says, where keep yourself in the love of God.
Okay. That's good, though. I'm glad you pointed that out. I underlined them for a reason. It must have been for you. Because you pointed it. You went for them. So, let's read this so that it extends into this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. May be able. This is interesting, this word able. I always like it when there's a word that's used only one time in the Bible, and I think that is one of them. Hang on. Yeah. Another way, should be competent to. In other words, it's a word that's saying, hang on here, let me get to the definition. It means to have full strength, or that you would be entirely able. In other words, it's not like, well, I hope you're able to, you know, to climb that mountain. No, it's like, I want you to have full, it's like, I want you to be able to. It's like, I need you to be able to. It's like, climbing that mountain is going to save my life.
I've made you able to.
And I've made you able to, exactly. And then the word comprehend here, it's like, well, okay, it just means understand. No, it means to aggressively seize. Like when someone would be overtaken with a demon, and they would, like, you know, all be seized up and have a seizure. That was the same kind of word. This is like apprehend. This is, I want you to be able to fully apprehend and understand and get into you the width and length and depth and height of love. Now, I do like 3D design. And 3D design is based upon coordinates in a artificial world. And you can put what are called vectors, or they're like little joining dots at one point in that world and another point in another world, and draw a line, and it starts to create an object. So if you have, you know, a dot here, a dot there, and a few other dots, you've got a box. And so it's a virtual box. You guys have seen virtual movies. You know, there's that one Player One. I mean, he's living an entire almost life inside of a virtual reality because his other life is so boring and horrible, I guess. I never even saw the movie. I could just tell from the clips that's what it was about. But there's what's called an X, Y, and Z axis. And that basically are different ways that you can go. Like, it'd be going like east and west and north and south. And then, you know, then you have an up and down. And so Paul is talking about, you know, the dimensions of God's love. Which is interesting, though, because he says the width, which would be X, and the length, which would be like Z, or kind of like, and he says the height. So he's talking about, you know, that we'd be able to understand this three-dimensional love. But then he says depth. And the depth one is like where he's talking about something that goes beyond even our realm. That it's supernatural. And we know that we talked about that, how the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen by all. So they're without excuse. So his invisible attributes are clearly seen, and that his love is seen, but it is not of this realm, even though it manifests in this realm. God's love is of him who is a spirit. So he wants us to comprehend. He wants us to fully comprehend. He wants us to be able to climb the mountain of understanding the magnitude of God's love. His incomprehensible love. Another place Paul said it's incomprehensible. Well, Paul, how can you say it's incomprehensible and you want us to comprehend it? I think the thing is that the more that we can comprehend it, the more that we're able to... I mean, I think most people can get the width of God's love. Well, God, especially ones who've been saved, God loves me. He loves me from, you know, as far as he can stretch his arms. Everybody agree with that, right? I mean, as wide as his arms were when Jesus was stretched on the cross. It stretched across not just, you know, those beams. It stretched across all of time, all of human time. From the back to the very first Adam act to the very last man or woman that lives. His arms stretched. And most people can agree, I go, yeah, he loves me that much, you know. And even in the depths of the length, some can understand, you know, that God will go to any length to redeem us, right? I mean, we could be in the deepest hole. We've committed the worst atrocities. Even after we're saved, we can do things that we know displease him. But he still is reaching out his hand to grab us. He'll go through any length to redeem us. And, you know, and he will, you know, he'll climb the highest mountain for us. Well, you know, I think we can get those things. But we also have to realize that there's something about the love of God that passes all understanding. As the next verse talks, it's transcendent. It's not of this realm. You can't comprehend it in your natural mind. So there's a part of God's love that you can only receive in your being, that inner man. That's why Paul's saying, be strengthened in your inner man, that you are able to get this. One of those things that you can say, I'm loved. And someone will say, well, you've been doing this, you've been doing that. It's like, I don't think God... No, I'm loved. You know you're loved. And as you know you're loved, guess what? You're going to respond to the world differently. You're going to act differently. You're not going to be attracted by the things that used to attract you. Because when you've got God's love, folks, you've got it all. You don't need anything else. Nothing. You have nothing? Oh, wow. Okay. Not yet. Not yet. So Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So to know the love of the Anointed One, Messiah, Jesus, the work that he did as the Anointed One, to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that goes beyond your human understanding, that goes beyond your ability to reason it out, to figure. I mean, we can look at what Jesus did on the cross, and we can look at the sacrifice that he's made, and to a certain degree, in our knowledge, we can say, wow, that was amazing. I'm blown away, and we can be thankful and grateful, and we can respond to the very best of our being, to that sacrifice that was made for us, that price that was paid. But to truly know the love of God goes beyond what you can do up here. It's what you get in here. It's something that you have to receive it into your being. You have to receive being rooted and grounded into your life. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So when all of this is taking place, and what was that? That was the being rooted and grounded in love, being strengthened with might in your inner man, comprehending fully the width, length, depth, and height, to know that love of Christ which passes knowledge, that happens. Guess what? We are then being continually filled. Being filled, you could say. You're being filled over and over and over again with the fullness of God. Not just one time, but over and over and over again. As you know the love of God, the fullness and nature and character of God fills you.
It's like drinking a cup of coffee that has an opening at the bottom and it never goes down. Like it's always full.
Right.
To overflowing. Instead of drinking it from here.
Right.
I'm just, you know, that's just what I just thought.
Okay. That's good. All right, let's read another translation that I think does a beautiful job of these last two verses. This is the Passion Translation. This is a translation that you can get. It's not of every single book in the Bible. This part of the Passion Translation is called the Letters of Love or something like that, that Paul's writing, and I think it includes Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. I think it includes those. He says here, then as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. That means saints. The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Is that not well written?
Beautiful. I have something to read now.
Go ahead.
So I found this, and I found it very interesting.
Can I have a drink?
Some of you have heard of Chuck Swindoll. He's a well-known author and preacher, and he describes a moment of crisis in his life. He was speaking at a pastor's conference, so he was ministering to ministers. By any measure, it was successful. Participants begged him to speak longer and were very engaged. But when he was alone in his room at the end of the day, he felt an emptiness and frustration. Sensing God was wanting to do something in his life, Chuck called four trusted friends. I want you to listen to my life story and see if anything stands out to you. And so the four friends and Chuck Swindoll gathered. Beginning with his earliest memory, Chuck poured out his life story. When he had finished, one of the friends asked him a few questions and then said, Chuck, I want you to put your head on the table and close your eyes. Chuck put his head on the table and closed his eyes. Now, I want you to imagine your father is holding you in his arms. What do you feel? Almost instantly, Chuck began to cry. For 30 minutes, he cried his eyes out. You see, Chuck's father had died when Chuck was 7 months old, and as he closed his eyes, what he felt was pure, unconditional love. What Chuck also realized that day was that while he had preached many times about God's great love, he had never made that personal. With his head on the table that day, he really felt for the first time that God loved him. That his heavenly Father loved him deeply, richly, and unconditionally. And by his own testimony, he was never the same again.
Wow. Tells you that you can be doing all kinds of stuff.
Great things for God.
And still lack being loved.
Or knowing. Having that beyond academic knowledge is what made me think of that writing. Because he's a very intelligent man. He's written several books. So it goes beyond what you know. It goes beyond anything that you could ever measure. His love, his endless love, his deep love, goes beyond all of that. And if we can understand that and know that all of that is available to us, every bit of it, there's not just a little portion X'd out for you, Hopi, and then a little portion X'd out for you, Valley, and a little portion X'd out for you, Tim, that all of it, the great depth of his love is available to us. Do you understand what I mean? Like, even if Hope at 1.1 mile realizes the depth of God's love, when I get to the 1.1 mile, her knowing it doesn't diminish what I realize about him at 1.1 mile. Does that make sense? It's like, it's so endless. And we think sometimes that it's for other people. We think, oh, you know, they're so good, or oh, they've been in church their whole life, or oh, she sings on the worship team, or you know, oh, they go to Bible study, they're good, they're cool, they're all that. No, it has nothing to do with it. It's recognizing that he loves me as much as the best preacher in the whole wide world and the worst sinner in the whole wide world. He loves us all the same. And we need to recognize that, because then we can love others like he loves us. Great two commandments, yeah.
Romans 11:33, it uses that word deep or depth again in another way. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I just wanted to point this out, that depth that we're talking about here, it's an unsearchable depth. You can search it, you can find things in it, but you're always going to be able to search out God's love. You're always going to be able to receive more of God's love into your life. Like right now, you know, I'm pretty confident that God loves me. But every day I can grow more and more in how much he loves me.
And recognize it.
Because his love is beyond anything that I know.
Yeah.
Here's another verse that kind of talks about this longing in us. Psalms 42:7. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. It's the longing that the psalmist is talking about. It's deep inside of him. It's a depth that only can be fulfilled with his deep. There's a longing in each and every one of us, whether you're saved or not, that can only be fulfilled in the next level of the deep that God has for you.
Right.
And I'm not talking about deep in your next level of ministry that you do. I'm talking about the next level of deep of intimacy that you get to know.
Right.
The next level of face-to-face in your heart experience with
right.
him. You know, relationship that is two ways. Right?
Right. Well, it kind of reminds me when we taught about communication and how there's five levels of communication. If one is in level four communicating and the other person refuses to get out of level one, it's going to be a pretty hard conversation to have.
Right.
Because the person in level four is trying to share, you know, their feelings and what's going on. And person number one just, you know, wants to know what the weather's going to be like today. Well, that's pretty hard to have a conversation. Or have a relationship, let alone. So as we long to have relationship like a couple longs, and we go deeper and deeper and deeper, that's how it should be with God, to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Not be satisfied. Not be satisfied where you are and stay there and just know at the end, you know, when I die, whoopee, I get to go to heaven and all is good, because He has so much more for us here, and we need to recognize it here, you know, in this life. Understanding, I can go deeper in Him and deeper in Him and deeper in Him, and never get to the depth of Him. But His deep calls out to my deep, like He doesn't call to my number one level of facts. He calls to the depth of my emotions and my spirit and the deep part that I don't even recognize of
right.
myself. And that's what I long for. It's like, I remember we had a meeting one time, and it was like, we got to the end of the meeting and one of the ladies stood up and she said, "Is that all it is? Is this it? Is this it? Is this all? Are we done? Like, we can't go any further than this." And it's like, you could almost in the echo of the hills hear God saying, "No, you haven't even begun yet." And it's like, we're not done yet. It is that we're not at the, I know, and therefore I'm going to go to heaven. Yippee skippy, let's do this. He wants his deep part of who he is. He wants our deep to be so attuned to it that we hear the ring, we answer, and he answers back. And there's communication in that spirit part of who he is in me and you.
Amen. Romans 8:38-39. Paul is saying this, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth." Now this time depth's talking about something that could hinder something in us. But it says, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there is nothing here on earth, nothing that can be done, nothing in your past, nothing in your future, nothing anybody else can do to you or you can do that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ. The only thing that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ is not receiving it. Is not letting it become that rooted and grounded, that established foundation inside of you.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, if you just ignore it and you continue to go on in, I guess for lack of a better term, your state of mind where you're not abiding in his love and resting in his love, then your behaviors will follow a trend lacking the love of God. Mm-hmm. And I know that when I'm lacking the love of God, I'm not as kind as I could be to people. Short-tempered. All these attributes of the world seem to rise up in me when I'm not remaining in his love, when I'm not allowing his love to engulf me like it says, right? In that song. Mm-hmm. I think how's it say how he loves us, you know, just being covered over in the love of God with water.
Overwhelmed, yeah.
Overwhelmed. The overwhelming, never-ending love of God, as we sing.
Yeah, reckless,
reckless love.
Right.
So next time you think about the love of God, realize that it is not of this realm, but it's multidimensional. It's probably beyond 4D, but at least 4D is something we can somewhat understand.
Yeah.
I was talking to Jesse about that depth, and when I told him 4D, he goes, oh, it's like it goes beyond time. That's what the depth reminded him of. And I think that is one of the attributes of God's love, is that it is eternal.
Yeah.
It never ceases. Amen? All right. Does anyone have anything else they was burning in their heart where I was sharing? Anyone? No one? Oh. Come on up.
Hi. Okay, so the other day I was reading, I don't know what I was reading. I was reading something I had posted on my Facebook a year ago, and I had done a live video about, you know, like end of the world conspiracy theories, stuff that comes up. It's not that I believe it. It just, it gives me like this chill in my spine. I'm just, anyway, nonetheless. What I started thinking about after that was about love, hate, forgiveness, forgetting, stuff like that. And I realized how similar and not similar each one of those can be. You know, it's easy to look at somebody and just say, you know, I'm sorry. I think you guys told me before, you can tell a plate it's sorry, but it's not going to fix it. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of saying, I'm sorry, ask, will you forgive me?
Right.
You know, I remember that. And I started thinking more and more on it. So I did another live video talking about, you know, how much easier it is to hate because there's no effort in it. But loving, forgiving, that takes so much more effort, and it's like a lazy emotion to have. To hate. And I noticed that God's love is nowhere compared to hate. His love is not lazy.
Right.
Just like we can't be lazy in his love, but at the same time, we can. It's because it's there for us. We just have to know it's there. We have to be willing to take it, and we can laze in it.
Right.
But we always got to keep going for more. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's good. Ugh. Good, bro.
What a statement.
Yeah.
Lazy.
Yeah, hate is lazy.
A lazy emotion.
Yeah.
Wow.
Never thought of that. That's deep. Talk about deep. Anyone else? What's that? Oh, yes. But anyone else?
Anybody else? Going.
Moses? You do or don't? Oh, okay. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we're going to go ahead and pray for, what is your, I always just say your Moses mom. What is your mom's name? Oh, my goodness. Okay, Moses' mom.
Come here.
That's why I say Moses' mom. That's.
Say it in the microphone what her name is.
Her full name is Gumercinda.
Gumer.
G-U-M-E-R. And then Cinda. Yeah, Gumercinda. Yeah. Everyone calls her Mama Gume.
Mama Ume?
Mama Gume.
Oh, okay.
Mama G. Yes, we just wanted, mom is in good spirits and stuff. And I guess she's had a tumor for a while, but refused surgery years ago. They had her thyroid removed. And at the time, they said it was probably the size of a walnut. So recently, she was in a lot of pain. She's had stones. She had that procedure done, and well, when they checked on the tumor, they said it was the size of a football. Doctors said they gave her about 6 to 12 months to live. Of course, when you hear that kind of news, you reel and your mind is going crazy and stuff. But my mom is a woman of faith, powerful woman, prayer warrior. Went to the hospital. They gave us the report. They said, yeah, you know, she doesn't want anything. She doesn't want surgery. She doesn't want, she just says she's good.
She's ready for Jesus.
She's ready for Jesus. So going down the hospital, we prepared everything. And during the process, you know, I'm trying to process this in my mind, you know, when, getting there, of course, like I said, you're reeling, you have all these thoughts, but mom's faith never wavered, and we came out encouraged. She prayed for everybody. She was praying for the doctors. She was praying for anybody who would come into the room, and anybody who came into that room left encouraged. Head held high. She's staying with my sister under hospice care. I went and seen her yesterday, and she's little pains here and there because of the surgery that they did do surgery. But she's good. I mean, she's, you know, like I said, she's 86 years old, and she's ready. She says, don't cry for me. I'm good. And she's ready to see Jesus. She's ready to see her sisters. She's ready to see Dad. And I was sharing this with the pastors, you know, I just don't, I go, my prayer is that, you know, that she don't get in a lot of pain, you know, and just that it's God's time that she goes, whether it be right now or a year, 2 years from now. But the pain part is none of us want to be in pain. None of us want to be in suffering. And I'm at peace with when God takes her, you know. The family's prepared for it. But like I said, she's in good spirits.
Good.
She's praising the Lord as usual. She'll probably praise the Lord till the last second of her life, you know. And that's the example she set. That's the example we grew up with, and just wanted to share that, and just keep her in your prayers, you know, and whenever the Lord decides to take her, you know, but just keep her in your prayers for the pain and the healing in her body, you know, through the surgery and whatever God decides, you know, to remove that tumor or just say, hey, you know, you're coming home, you know, I'm good. So thank you very much. If you just keep her in your prayers, Mama Gume. She's been through a lot. She's endured a lot. She's seen a lot in the Lord, you know, growing up and hearing what, and seeing what God has done in her life. And, it was through her that all of her sisters became saved and her brothers. And And through that, she's a lot of my uncles that married my aunts were drunks and womanizers and stuff. And they're all with the Lord now. And she goes, we drug our husbands kicking and screaming to heaven. we drug our men to heaven. You go, we never ceased praying for them. We never gave up on them until they repented on their deathbed or they lived a godly life. You go, we drug our husbands into heaven. And so all you couples out there struggling, you know, just keep the faith. And that's one of the biggest things that I got out of it. She goes, yeah, all of our husbands were womanizers and drunks, but we drug them all the way to heaven. She says, they repented either on their deathbed or they lived a godly life, as my dad did. I thank God that I never seen my dad in that way. But he was already a man of God when I came to be, you know, and I never seen that. And I thank God I never did. But my uncles I did see, you know. One of my uncles didn't give his life till his deathbed.
Wow.
You know, and yeah, he was hardcore all the way. But he felt the peace of Jesus, you know, in those last days. And he gave his life to the Lord. And so my aunts are all up there. And mom just says, you know, whenever the good Lord decides. So just keep her in your prayers. And God bless you all.
Amen. You want to pray, hon?
Yeah. Stay here. Father, we just are so thankful, God, for Mama and for the family, God. Father, we just pray that during this time,
yes,
those that are on the outskirts, maybe those grandchildren or those nieces and nephews or whoever, God, that through her testimony, through her very life, God, that they'd be drawn to you. Father, we pray, Lord God, that the doctors would be able to keep the pain under control. But, Father, that as she lives out the rest of her days, God, that she would be able to live her life, God, praising you and worshiping you. God, we love her so much, and we thank you, God, that she's a part of who Mike and I are, God, and we're thankful for that. And so, Father, we pray for comfort for the family. Father, we pray for comfort for Rachel as she keeps her in her home, God. Father, we just thank you, God, because you have already been there. You know what they're getting ready to go through and will continue to go through. And God, your strength, your power, your love, your glory is enough.
Amen.
And so, Father, we thank you for that. God, we pray for the rest of this service, God, that no word, God, spoken would fall on deaf ears, but it would go to the depth and the marrow of the bone, God, that people would be drawn to what has been said. And, God, anything that was frivolous, that wasn't necessary, God, that would go by the wayside, but only what you want us to retain, God, that would be what we take with us, God, and then our lives are changed forevermore. Father, we thank you for this wonderful family that we have, and we pray blessing on each
yes.
one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, well, God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.